You're listening to a podcast from Vineyard Church of Augusta. For more information, visit vineyardaugusta.org.
We worshiped and we exalted the Father. We exalted Jesus. We praised. We lifted His name on high. We invited Holy Spirit's presence. The Trinity, the mystery, our three-in-one God. We get really personal when we talk about Jesus, our Redeemer, our Savior, our Lord, our King. We get real personal when we talk about God, our Creator, our Father. The tendency in the church today often is that when it comes time to talk about Holy Spirit, we talk about the Holy Spirit. I don't say the Jesus. I don't say the God. And yet, we seem to have this tendency toward making Holy Spirit a little more distant, a little more not so personal. And I want to challenge that today. Last Sunday, we celebrated the resurrection. A time of incredible possibilities breaking forth. We rightly celebrated the resurrection of our Lord. And now we're in that season of time between Resurrection Sunday and another absolutely incredible, amazing, life-changing, history-changing event called the Day of Pentecost. The day Holy Spirit descended, was poured out upon the followers of Jesus in that upper room. Now, Jesus had already breathed on them once and said, "Receive Holy Spirit." That happened before He left. But He also told them, "Don't be in a rush to go out there and do a whole bunch of great things. I want you to gather. I want you to come together. And I want you to wait for the promise." He's called the promise for one thing. And so they gathered. And they spent a time in worship and prayer and an anticipatory waiting. What was Jesus going to do? If you look in the book of John, Jesus told them at one point in time, "It's better for you that I leave. Because unless I leave, the Counselor, who the Father will send, cannot come to you." Jesus was pretty important. He did all kinds of incredible things as bringing in, ushering in this whole thing we call Christianity. And yet here He is telling those that have followed Him through all kinds of stuff, "It's better that I leave." Why would it be better that you taking yourself away from us? We need you. We need to be able to touch you. We need to be able to be here. We need you with us. But Jesus said it was better that He leave so that this one could come. And a little bit later, He told him that when He comes, He will make known to you all the things of Me. Everything that I've been trying to impart, teach, all the things you haven't quite gotten a hold of yet, all the possibilities that I've opened you up to think about, when He comes, He will make these things known to you. He. a very personal pronoun. Jesus told him, everything has been given to me. Now I'm going to the Father. And everything that is mine, He will make known to you and make available to you. Now, from where I stand, that makes Holy Spirit a big deal. It tells me that I need Him. It tells me that without Him, I'm going to be floundering around a lot. Heck, I've even floundered around with Him. I can't imagine what it would be like without Him. But Jesus made a big deal about the coming of this Holy One. Not an it. Not a power. We tend to think of Holy Spirit and associate Him positionally as the third person of the Trinity. And we tend to associate Him basically as power. He's far more than that. Yes, does His presence enable us to work in the power of heaven? Yes. Thank you, God, for that. But He's far more than that. And we do a disservice when we think of Him only in that way. I didn't get saved until I guess I was about 42. And I was lucky. The little church that I got saved in, they made a big deal about Holy Spirit. And so I never had the opportunity to make Him a distant connection. I was immediately drawn into that place of valuing Him intensely. And I do a lot of reading. Confession, I read a lot of Christian writers that maybe some of my Vineyard pastor brethren wouldn't really want me to read. Just saying it, okay? But I choose the people who I can see that God has been working in because they're making a difference. They're maybe making a difference a little differently than we make a difference, but they're having an impact in the world as they teach, as they preach, as they minister. I don't care what denomination they're from. I care about what is God blessing. And across the board, when I look at those people and I read the things they wrote, the ones that are outstanding examples of being what Jesus was when He was here among us, they all have a place for Holy Spirit in their lives that challenges me. One of those people, she's not with us anymore, was a lady named Catherine Coleman. Okay? Back in the 60s and the 70s, Catherine Coleman was part of a movement that was really particularly focused in healing crusades. And she was incredibly effective in that ministry. Incredibly effective. Reading stories of what her gatherings were like is like reading the Gospels and the Book of Acts. The incredible power of the kingdom now on display. And when I read those kind of stories, it excited me. Because I do believe that those things are possible. But when I read one of the stories written about her as I was preparing for this, I actually found myself weeping because I realized that her passion for Holy Spirit, her hunger for intimate relationship with Holy Spirit was far deeper than mine. And it was convicting. It was actually painful. Now, I think I had a pretty good relationship with Holy Spirit. I look at all the things he's allowed me to be part of over these past 20 years, and frankly, I guess I got a little complacent. But reading some of these stories, preparing for this time today, it hurt. Because there is so much more that I want to taste, that I want you to taste. And it only happens through Holy Spirit. Even in the Old Testament, Holy Spirit is prominent. He's mentioned many times. Beginning at the beginning. Creation itself. God the Father. There's this formless void, I think was the name. And it was characterized by chaos. It was this earth, this galaxy that we now live in. Not yet, but almost. Father has an idea. He has a vision in his mind. And he begins to speak. And the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God was hovering. I think one translation uses the word brooding over that chaos and that void. And as God the Creator spoke the word of creation, that's a capital W. We know him as Jesus. Jesus was there. Holy Spirit brooding. The word comes through him. Things begin to form. Chaos begins to become order. Where there was no life, as God speaks the word, Holy Spirit energized, life came into being. The first human himself wasn't even human. God stepped down upon this thing that he had called into being. He takes his hands and he pulls together this form. And he leans over and he breathes his breath into it, the breath of God. The Spirit of God breathed in, and instead of a pile of dirt, we have Adam. And from Adam, we all come. The very breath of the Spirit that energized, brought life, brought existence to Adam, is this one that Jesus talked about. This one that he said he needed to go so that he could come for us. Holy Spirit. In the books of the Old Testament, the 23 different books of the Old Testament, there's 88 references to Holy Spirit. And he has many names throughout Scripture. The book of Isaiah, particularly Isaiah chapter 11. I want you to take some time and read through Isaiah chapter 11. In chapter 11, he's called the Spirit of Wisdom and Understanding. I don't know about you, but there's times I'm looking at situations in life going, I don't know what to do here. I don't understand what's happening. And all of the earthly knowledge I can gather together doesn't give me an answer. God sent him Spirit of Wisdom and Understanding. Later he's called Spirit of Counsel and Might. I don't know about you, but there's times I need advice. And there's a few folks I go to and I ask. You know, there's people I trust and have that, you know, they can speak into my life. And I hope you have those people too. But there are times they don't know the answer. Their counsel can't take me where I need to go. There's times where I feel defeated and helpless and hopeless. I'm willing to bet that you have some of those moments too. In those moments, we are promised spirit of counsel and might. John also calls him spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. We have this precious, precious book, the gift of the Bible. And through this, we can learn an awful lot about God. We can learn an awful lot about Jesus, his plans, his purposes for us, our place in this thing. There's a lot of teachers out there, a lot of books out there to help us understand different pieces and places of the Bible. But there's one person who can unveil the truths beyond anything any human can do. And that is this one. This Spirit that we call Holy Spirit. Holy and divine. Not a person as we think of a person. He doesn't have a bodily form that anybody will ever identify. But he is here by God's intent. And wonder of wonders, mystery of mysteries, the day you said yes to Jesus, this holy divine being entered you. Your human flesh is the house, the temple of the living Spirit of God. Think about that for a minute. That is mind-bending. And we take it for granted. We don't appreciate what it means. All things become possible. Maybe not easy, but possible. Last week, Reese talked about the Valley of Dry Bones from the book of Ezekiel, another person who speaks about the Spirit in different terms. This vision of this valley full of dried bones, desiccated, purposeless, lifeless. And God calls his prophet to stand there and speak life to them. He called him to declare things into that valley of death. And as the wind of the Spirit began to blow in that valley, that which was dead and lifeless began to take on life. Spirit of life. That's another name he has in the Scriptures. Are there places in your life where things feel dead? Dreams have died? Hope has drained away? If you're like most other humans, probably yes. Okay? There are wise counselors, there are smart people out there, but they can't do what he can do. The Spirit of life. He's called the encourager, the helper. So many roles he plays. He is so critical to our ability to live the life that Christ laid down his life for us to have. And too often we relegate him to third string because he's the third person. We will never have the life we're meant to have until we move him up in the batting order, so to speak, for all you baseball fans out there. spirit of grace, spirit of adoption. I don't know about you, but the day that I said yes to Jesus and He, spirit of adoption, entered into my life, my view of life changed. My sense of who I was began to change. Quite frankly, I thought a lot of myself for a lot of years. Just being honest. 23 years in the Marine Corps, 14 different ranks constantly going up. But after I retired, the wheels fell off. I wasn't the boss anymore. Things began to happen that I couldn't just issue an order and things would start changing the way I wanted them to be. I hate it when that stuff happens. I came to the point where my sense of self was trashed. And my sense of being in control, what a laugh that became. And after a dozen annoying phone calls saying yes to some friends that kept inviting us to their church, I went. And it was a well-laid ambush by God. Within 3 weeks, I'm flat on my back looking up at the ceiling going, what happened? And suddenly the fear was gone. The sense of complete failure was gone. I felt adopted. I felt renewed. I felt that there was hope again. The preacher did not accomplish that. Okay, he was a nice guy. But he didn't do that. Holy Spirit did that. All a preacher did was set the table. That's all any preacher can do, is set the table for Holy Spirit to do what only he can do. Throughout history, throughout the scriptures, again and again and again and again, at critical moments, this one steps in to individual lives, to individual situations, and the will of God becomes real here on this earth. And I don't know about you, but that's why I signed up for Christianity. So that I could see His will being done and the realities of His truth being experienced. The kingdom message grabbed me very quickly. It was so easy to transition from all of the values and the beliefs and the core things that touched my life as a Marine. And then I hear this guy, John Wimber, preaching about this thing called the kingdom of God. And I'm like, that is 1,000 times bigger than everything I was ready to die for. I want that. John Wimber would have been the first to tell you it wasn't his teaching that brought that to life in me. It was Holy Spirit that brought that to life in me. No teacher can start that fire in you. Only Holy Spirit can start that fire in you. It's been my joy and my privilege at different times through the last 20 years to see the power of God on display to see the reality of His love and His presence step into situations and change them. But I was never foolish enough to believe that it was about me. That's called pride. And the Bible warns us about that pretty strongly. Only Holy Spirit can do those things. Jesus stands at the right hand of the Father. He's not here on the earth with us. He stands at the right hand of the Father as our high priest in the courtroom of heaven, constantly making intercession for us. We rightly exalt Him as Savior, our Redeemer, our Lord and our King. He's not here. Holy Spirit is here. Too much of the church has failed to grasp the intensity of the need for personal, intimate relationship with this portion of God. Holy Spirit. The song we did, Spirit Burn, first time we did that song here, I thought I was going to explode in flames, okay? Because it's the cry of my heart to see that happening. Because when we as a people begin to embrace that piece of relationship that's been available to us, when we begin to yield ourselves to His work through us, then we will see things begin to change in the world around us. The world doesn't care about our judgments. The world doesn't really care when we quote Scripture to them. It's all philosophy to too much of the world. And there's competing philosophies out there. If I convince you of the rightness of God in Jesus based purely on philosophy, somebody else may come along with a better philosophy and a better way of delivering it, and you're going to go, you know, that makes a lot of sense. I have to look at that. But when Holy Spirit shows up in your life, and the flame of His presence ignites in you, and you step into the reality of God with you, God literally in you, and you begin to see Him doing what only He can do, no philosopher is going to take that away from you. You're going to own that for your life. But He only does it when we invite. This is a relational place with Him, not a positional place with Him. I love talking about Holy Spirit. I love talking about Jesus and the Father. But I love talking about Holy Spirit because He's the now. He's the now that makes everything else possible. He's the now that awakens me in the deepest places to all the possibilities that God has thought of and that Jesus has made possible for me. The questions I can find an answer to, I know that if I can quiet myself with Him within me, ideas begin to float up. Answers begin to make sense again. Truth begins to overcome doubt. I need Him desperately, and so do you. John, of course, called Him the Comforter. There's times when life has gone so far out of balance. This old jarhead needs to be comforted. I need to feel like something's possible. When I can't share the hurt with anybody else, I know I can share it with Him. Sometimes that happens in the midst of ministry. Sometimes that happens in the midst of just the right worship song. Sometimes it happens with a cup of coffee in my hand. The lights turned off. And just inviting Him. But it's an invitation. I want to give Him place. I want to give Him space. And I want to nurture that relationship. And as I read Catherine Coleman's story, I cried. Because I realized that in the midst of doing ministry and trying to be a pastor, be a father, be a husband, be a friend, I actually drifted farther away from Him than I ever understood. He was still there. He was still doing things at the right times and the right moments, despite me. But I lost the place of intimacy. And reading Catherine's story and the intensity of the emotions that she felt for Him, I wanted that. I want it back. I had it for a moment. And like a lot of us, we have that early beginning. We have that place of passion. And then over time, we do church. All right? God didn't call us to just do church. He called us to be the church, a living organism, changing the world around us. And it can only happen through our relationship with Holy Spirit. I've learned a lot. I've read a lot. I know the principles of ministry. But apart from the presence, they mean nothing. I can read this all day long. I can stand in front of you and quote 100 scriptures. But apart from presence, His presence by His Spirit, it means nothing. It won't change a thing. We need to take this in. Because it grounds us. When we have questions, we can go here and we can walk within the framework of what's been given us. But it's Holy Spirit who brings it to life. It's Holy Spirit who gives us the wisdom to understand the teachings. Otherwise, we simply become parrots repeating what someone else wrote. And there's no life in it. Life is in Spirit. I want us to be a family that is so related intentionally with what Holy Spirit is doing in us at any given moment that as we interact in the world around us, heaven happens. That was Jesus' prayer. That as we interact with the world, by His Spirit within us, the world encounters heaven. I don't want them just to encounter my understanding of something or my quote of a scripture. I want to be able, from that place of relationship, to say, come, Holy Spirit, and know that He's ready, that He's already in motion, that He's already leaning in, that He's already got an idea. If you've heard me a couple of times, you realize that I'm all about the challenge. I'm not a whole lot of comforter, unless you're hurting. But when I stand up here, I'm all about the challenge. Okay? And I want to challenge you with a question: who is Holy Spirit to you? Does He have the place in you that He's supposed to have? Is He first and foremost? Is He the solid ground under your feet spiritually? Is He truth and wisdom, comfort, encouragement, an ever-present helper? The gift of God to guide you? Those gifts that He brings, that 1 Corinthians talks about, those 9 ministry gifts, which are part and parcel and key to who we are as a movement. Those weird things like gift of prophecy, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, gifts of healings, speaking in tongues, all of those 9 critical gifts that God has given to His church by His Spirit so that the prayer of Jesus can actually be realized. They are Holy Spirit's gifts. They're not my gifts. They're not your gifts. Because He's in here, because He's in there, those gifts are there. And every one of them is available to us at any moment that we make ourselves available to God for that gift to do what it needs to do in a given situation. But they're not my gift. Those gifts belong to Holy Spirit, Him who is the gift of God into our lives. Okay? But until I develop relationship to the level with Him that I can sense what He's about to do, what He needs to happen through me, those gifts cannot accomplish what God sent them to do. Now, each and every one of us has to make a decision somewhere along the line. Are we spectators? Just doing church? Or are we servants of the Most High God, commissioned to step in to the chaos of this present world and by His Spirit's presence begin to bring order to it? There's your challenge. How do you see yourself? My job here is to call out the people who want to go further. They want to go deeper. They want more. They want to be used more. They want to take the chances. They want to learn everything they can learn. They want to experience God in every way they could possibly experience God. It only happens with Holy Spirit. Not as some distant connecting point, not as some concept, but as a real living, breathing, divine, holy entity living inside of you. And he wants to get out. And he needs your cooperation for that to happen. I didn't even have to bother to ask for words of knowledge for ministry today. As I read Catherine's story, as I wept over those pages, I knew what God wanted to call. And I'm going to call it. And it's a challenge. And some of you may feel offended by it. I will not apologize for that kind of offense. If you want more intimacy with God, if you want more of the experience of what it's like to have the God who lives inside of you called Holy Spirit, if you want to be refreshed, refilled, you want your light turned on, you want the burner turned up, you want to be all that God has said you were meant to be, I invite you to come on up. Come up and humble yourself before him and simply ask. Because his promise was, if we seek and we knock and we ask, he will freely give. Okay? How much do you want? That's the challenge. Melody? If you're part of people who normally are part of the ministry team, but you feel like you want to respond to the ministry call, come on up and put your hands out and receive. Maybe nobody is going to stand in front of you and speak deliberate words over you, but when you position your heart and you ask God for the more, he is faithful to answer, all right? So that's your ministry call. More of you, Holy Spirit. I want more of you.